and eat yet of old fruit till the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. Now, the very spiritually attentive will understand already what's happening in this text. Chapter 10 of Hosea, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and ask his blessing on his word tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, anoint us, Lord, to hear your words tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Mercy and righteousness alone. You may be seated. I preached to you Thursday night that the seventh year is the year of fulfillment and the year of perfection in God's sight. Seven is the number of fullness. There are seven notes in a scale, and when you reach the eighth and the octave, it is the same as the first, only it is in a higher dimension. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and then you got to go back to do again. And on the piano, if you run the scale up, you can go seven notes, and then the next one is the equivalent to the first one you played, only in a higher dimension. The years do have something to do with the work of God. I don't know why this scripture came blazing into my mind on a Sunday night. I wasn't thinking about it. I hadn't considered any more about the text I'd preached to you Thursday night. I hadn't lingered on it. It just came to me in the Spirit tonight. As I stood in my study, this scripture came into my mind. There's a scripture that talks about sowing the eighth year. The scripture says in the sixth year, the Lord will rain upon us and give us harvest for 3 years. And then in the meantime, we're supposed to break up fallow ground and we're supposed to plant again. In the eighth year, we're supposed to sow. And God's going to let that harvest that began in the sixth year blend over until the new fruit from that eighth year planting starts growing. Amen. I'm going to read it again. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. You shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruit come in, ye shall eat of the old store. We've been eating for 3 years on the blessing of God that had been sowed to us through the years and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. But we have come to the place and the point now where we've got to, and we've been sowing, but we are looking for that new harvest. We're looking for the new store to come in. Hallelujah. We're still eating of the old store. We're still eating off of the blessing of God from 2 or 3 years gone by. But it's time for us to break out the plows. That's what my text is tonight. Break out the plows. Hallelujah. It's time to sow again. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the springtime, when the farmers get ready to plow the soil, at least as it was on the farm where I was reared, the ground is still wet. The birds hop along the top of the soil and pluck the juicy night crawlers right off the top of the ground. Hot sun in the summertime hasn't had much time to crack it and dry it out. And so the old farmer gets his tractor out and drops his plows down and says, I believe I'm going to plow. He's anxious. It's been a long winter. He's anxious and he starts to plow up the ground. But he gets it down about midway through the field and down toward the low spot, and he sinks. And he goes down. He goes back up, and he puts his extra lugs on. He puts his extra tires on. He goes back down. He's going to plow. But he can't plow till the time is right. I've seen a lot of tractors bogged down. I've pulled a lot of tractors out because we just got too anxious to plow when it wasn't plowing time yet. The Scripture talks about the plowman overtaking the reaper. And it's true that we plow and sow and reap of the old store at the same time. This Scripture shows and adds a lot of light to the Scripture that talks about the plowman overtaking the reaper or the reaper overtaking the plowman. And that light on the Scripture is this, that there is an old store of the blessing of God that continues to belong to the people of God. Amen. Even while they're sowing and making ready for that new harvest. We've made ready for that new harvest. We've been sowing seed for that new store. I'm looking for that new abundant harvest tonight. Hallelujah. I know they're in this city. I know there are people in this city that can be reached by the presence of God. There isn't any reason why they shouldn't be saved before the coming of the Lord. If God gives us time, if the rapture doesn't take place, the gospel hasn't dissipated, the age hasn't turned so sour that God's grace can't overcome the iniquity of this hour. God's grace is sufficient for every hour. There's never been a time in any dispensation that God wasn't able to spiritually cope with and deal with the indignity of sin. He's always had the power. He can do it tonight. Amen. I have heard it preached and said that the sun is setting. There won't be much done. Won't be much more harvest. Hold on to what you got. Do the best you can. I don't believe that. I believe that the cycles of God's spiritual seasons are supposed to go on and on and on until Jesus comes. You can look for the sunset. That's fine if you want to. But I'm looking for the sunrise of a beautiful morning that's going to take us all out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 I don't aim to get very deep tonight. I don't aim to preach you a deep sermon tonight. I aim to tell you that God's been good to us. I aim to tell you tonight that God has commanded a blessing upon us, and we've been eating of that store for 3 years. But it's time to break out the plows, Brother Gresko. It's time to plow up the fallow ground and get ready for a new harvest. God wants to give us a harvest. He wants us to sow seed in the 8th year. God's got a harvest, and when that old 3rd-year harvest runs out, we ought to start reaping a new harvest of grain. There shouldn't be one break between the reaping of the old harvest and the new. The devil would like to shut us all down. The devil would like to torment us all. I'll tell you why we're wretched and ragged, because we're being renewed in the Holy Ghost. An old hen don't look very good when she's molting. She'll pull her feathers out. The other chickens will pick her feathers out. She'll go around with the old comb on top of her head, black. It used to be just as red, but it'll just get black, and the feathers all pulled out of her neck. She looks terrible. Tail feathers fall out. She just kind of walks around, and it looks like you ought to take a butcher knife and cut her head off. Amen. I told the young people today, we used to go and kill the chickens in the barnyard. You know, we'd kind of stretch the neck, lay them up against the post, and go, thump, and then throw them out there and let them flop. Dip them in a pan of hot water, and pull the feathers out, and then singe them over fire and make sure all the hair was burned off of them. Y'all ever do that? There you go. How many farmers in here tonight? That's it? Amen. I saw a lot of hens I thought ought to have been killed. I told Daddy one time, went up the barnyard and said, looks like every one of these hens need to die to me. Looks like we need to put them in deep freeze. He said, no, I said, they're not sick, they're just molting. I said, molded? He said, not molded, molting. I said, oh. He said, that means they're just going through a transformation in their system. They're getting ready to produce again. I said, is that right? He said, that's right. He said, every once in a while, they just got to kind of catch up. He said, you know, it's tough laying eggs. I said, I don't know, but I'm not. You know, it's tough on a church. After a while, you can become strained and weary. I want to tell you what. We are at the verge right now of getting the plows out. That's what we're scraping the rust off the plow. We're going to put the shiny edge on the plow share. The Scripture talks about fallow ground. You know what fallow ground is? Fallow ground is ground that has been laid to rest.
commanded that every seventh year the land would rest. And he commanded a blessing, hear this now, he commanded a blessing in the sixth year to carry them over that seventh year so they wouldn't have to plant the soil. He just gave them victory on through that seventh year. The ground wasn't even supposed to labor on the seventh year because that seventh is holy to God. That Sabbath was holy to God. Amen. That seventh was holy. He said, I'm going to give you a blessing in the sixth year, and it's going to carry on for 3 years. And what that's going to do is that year you miss, the eighth year you break the plows out and get the soil turned over and plant a new harvest. And then in the ninth year, you're going to get a new harvest, and that old grain is going to hold out until the new grain comes in again. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. The fallow ground is the ground that's been laid to rest. We've just been basking in the Holy Ghost, eating up the blessings of God, listening to the reports of blessing and healing and glory. It's not anything new around here for someone to be healed of a cancer. It's not anything new around here for someone to be healed of a heart attack. Isn't that right? It's not anything shocking around here when somebody's on a deathbed and looks like there's not any hope, and a saint of God walks in and prays a prayer and breathes in Jesus' name, can't stay in the room but 2 minutes, walks out of an unbelieving room, and when the sinners get ready, they call up and say, it's a miracle. That's not anything shocking to us. We've seen that happening for years. We know what God can do. Amen. But I want to tell you, you can't live on the blessings of the past forever. God may give us a line of time whereby we may be blessed and the commanded blessings of God linger on us. But there comes a time when you've got to put the plows back down in the soil. You've got to turn over every inch of your soul. If we didn't break up the fallow ground of our heart, we'd get old and dead and crusty. And we'd forget the tender mercy of God. We'd forget the blessing of God, even with the testimonies of power. It's possible to grow old and tired of the move of the Spirit. And that's a terrible thing. But it comes time to plow, and when that day comes, the farmer drops that plow down into the soil. That 14-inch blade or that 16-inch plow, it digs right on down and pulls that tractor down, and you put it up and forth and turn the old diesel on, let her burn. And that soil starts whipping over, and it lays over so nice in those little even rows. And then after a while, the thing's not working just right, and you have to get back and kick the blade around in front of the plow again. It gets clogged up, the chain gets loose, it gets turned around, gets full of mud, and the plow's bogged down, pulls the tractor up. You have to let it up again, hydraulic up, go back it off. That's right. All y'all farmers around here? Amen. And then you start in again, plowing up the soil, getting ready for another harvest. Getting ready for another harvest. Hallelujah. Getting ready for another harvest. We used to take the plows and take a brick and rub the plows with a brick. Amen. You ever do that? You used to rub the plows with a brick. We'd get them shiny before we ever put them in the soil. Of course, when we got through with the last year, we'd take that old axle grease and smear all over them. And some of us are still in grease. Some of us need a brick rubbed on our soles to get the old rough edges off. The rust that collects over the year, the dew and the cold and the warm and the condensation, and it sets on that metal and it kind of gets us rough. Do you know a plow won't plow good if it's not shiny? Did you know that? A plow just a little bit rusty or just a little bit old dirt on it, it doesn't plow good. It won't turn the soil over good. It'll tear the sod and it'll start breaking every direction. It won't plow right. It'll fall out in a pile instead of turning over right. You got to get that old mowing blade. You got to get it down there and moved over right. So it plows down into the dirt and turns it over. You know what? That hurts a lot of things. You know, plowing kills the posies. And the sweet clover that you smell in the springtime, it covers it up. That's right. It exposes all the worms in the ground. Plowing's a rough thing. It changes the whole face of nature. Is that right or not? Yes, sir. Plowing can get awful rough after a while. It just scrapes and digs and scratches, and it'll hit stones, and the old brown smoke just flies, and you just keep on digging. Hit a stump, root it out, just keep right on digging. That's what we're in right now. That's what we need to be doing right now. Amen. We need to drop our plows down. It's time to break out the plows.
Amen. It's time to break out the plows. God's commanded a blessing on us, and we've been living through these years. But I want to tell you that it's going to be time for a new harvest in a few days, and this old store is going to run out. And if the old store runs out before we reap a new harvest, we're going to be hanging somewhere in between, wondering what happened to God, wondering what happened to the lost. Hadn't anything happened to God? Hadn't anything? God's always been all right. He's still all right tonight. There's nothing wrong with God. He knows what he's doing. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem's right here. This is the old man that needs to get down to business. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 tells us about gospel salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And with many other words did he exhort and keep saying, save yourselves. Acts 2:38 is God's plan of salvation. That's how God saves you. But I want to tell you that you can't go but two verses until it's time for you to save yourself. You've got to do something. I've got to do something. This is a day for personal involvement. We need to take the nice, pretty soil of our satisfied souls and put the old plow of gospel prayer right back down in our hearts again. It's going to uncover some things. I'm going to tell you, we think everything's doing all right until we get to plowing in the Spirit. But it's not long until we hit a stump we didn't know was there. It isn't long until we find worms and barnacles in the soil of our hearts that we didn't know were alive. It isn't very long until we find out that the way we were is not the way we've got to be. You can't plant seed in a soil that's hardened by years that hasn't been broken up. We're asking God to give this church a harvest of souls, but we can't just throw the seed out here on top of the ground. The birds get a bunch of it. The thistles and the thorns are choking a lot of it out. You know what we need to do? We need to break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. We need to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. The Bible said, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. There's something about the gospel that when you break up your heart, it breaks up the heart of a sinner. When you put the plow down in your soul, it puts the plow and gospel conviction in the heart of an unbeliever. When you start believing the gospel all over again, it makes the unbelievers believe. That's right. Whatever you do, they're going to do. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my people whom I have chosen. Hallelujah! God intended that the church be the exemplification of his intention to man. God intended that the church would be the demonstration of his Holy Spirit. God intended that the church would be the example of what he intended those who are lost to do. That's when you pray for. That's why when you pray for someone, you don't just get down self-righteously and say, God save them. If you're going to help somebody, you've got to break up your heart while they're breaking up their heart. It was Gideon's message to those 300. They didn't have a mighty army, but they had God's plan. And you don't have to have many. You've just got to have the right thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to have all the soldiers in the world. Don't have to have the biggest congregation in the world. But you do have to have the mind of God. And if you've got the mind of God, then you can do the will of God. Regardless of numbers, regardless of resistance, regardless of what the devil says, regardless of what unbelievers say, hallelujah! God said he's going to sow seed in us. Gideon said, when I blow my trumpet, you blow your trumpet. When I shout, you shout. When I break my pitcher, you break your pitcher. This is a type of the church, the leadership of the Holy Ghost in the church. God's got a plan for doing the work of God. He knows what to do. I don't know how to do it, but the Holy Ghost knows how to do it. I don't know how to do it, but the Holy Ghost knows how to get it done. Men try all of their inventions and try all of their plans, but when you finally consummate all of the plan of man, it avails very little. Only when men give themselves to God and fall into God's great plan and program do they find there what God's intention for them is. Paul said, I came not to you with words of men's wisdom, enticing words of men's wisdom, but with demonstration of the Holy Ghost and with power. The Apostle Paul didn't come speaking as he spoke in the courts. He didn't come wooing them with all of the talk of the Sanhedrin, But when he got there, he demonstrated the Holy Ghost through his living. He demonstrated the Holy Ghost through his preaching. He demonstrated the Holy Ghost in signs, wonders, and miracles. And the people knew by what he had that God was real.
Amen. And there is a lesson in this, that we have to break ourselves up. We have to get our hearts in condition. We have to turn the soil of our hearts over. And when we do, sinners will. When you get renewed, sinners will want to get regenerated. When you get renewed in the Holy Ghost, people are going to want to have what you've got. Hallelujah. Let's all say praise the Lord. We need to get the plows out. We need to put the plow in the soil. Whatever poses a pride of growing in your heart, they need to die. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it is with your dress or with your activities or with your attitude. I want to tell you that God can't use people that are self-righteous and proud. You've got to lose your self-righteousness and your pride. But you can't just drop it off like a ballast or a weight. You've got to pray it off and plow it off. I'm going to tell you, the flesh don't just fall off at command. You've got to dig it off and scratch it off. The flesh has got to be plowed under.
I know lots of folks that just say, Lord, I want to do good. And they think that's going to make them good. Lord, I just want to live good. And they think they're going to start living good. Lord, I want you to deliver me. And they think they're delivered. Lord, I want you to set me free. And they think they're set free. Oh, no. I want to tell you something about the flesh. It grows proud flesh just like a tumor. And do you know a tumor becomes a part of the body, whether you like it or not? It gets blood flowing into it. It gets food going into it. It lives off the body. And the only way you can get rid of that thing is if God doesn't heal it, of course, is it for it to be cut off. That thing's got to be cut off from the body. We believe in the power of God to heal this physical body. I'm talking in a spiritual term. The people in the world, if they get a tumor, the only thing they know what to do is to cut it off. I want to tell you something about flesh. I want to tell you something about pride. It's not just a thing. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your attitude. It becomes a part of your makeup. It becomes a part of your language. It becomes a part of your spirit. And you can't get rid of it just by talking about it. We need to break out the plows. We need to get a hold of the old gospel sword. The Bible said the word of God is a two-edged sword. Amen. It cuts and divides asunder, clear down to the joint and the marrow. We need the word of God to cut down into the middle of our hearts until I don't want to be exposed just to flesh. I don't want to just be cut just a little. I want God's word to dig clear down to the bottom fiber of my soul. I want every sin in my life uncovered. I want every ungodly deed in my mind exposed. I want God to rid me of my sin, my flesh, my self-righteousness, my pride, my personal ambition. I want God's power to work in me. I can't have a harvest, and I can't be fruitful until, first of all, God's gospel sword cuts away the proud flesh of my heart. Hallelujah! I'm not too proud to tell you I need God. I need Him today. I need Him yesterday. I want Him tomorrow. It don't hurt my feelings to tell you that I want God to break me up and break me down until all over again I can be nothing but just muddy clay where God can plant the seed of His goodness in my soul. Come on. Hallelujah!
Man gets a cancer, he's going to die. That's something done about it. Because it'll eat him up after a while. People fear that. Well, I fear it in the Holy Ghost. There are things that leeches, spiritual leeches, that get a hold of folks. Can't have a harvest. We're not going to have a harvest until the soil is turned over. All those little poses that you've been growing in your self-righteous garden, you're going to have to plow them under. I remember one year my mother tried to talk my daddy out of plowing the field until the blossoms went off some kind of little wild flower that was growing, because she looked out the kitchen window and she could see the field. She thought it was pretty. And she said, Stanley, she said, look. She said, why don't you wait a few days? She said, let's let the field be pretty like it is. He said, Francis, if we're going to get anything in the ground, we got to get it plowed up. He said, now, it depends on whether you want to smell the flowers or eat groceries. And that's about what it comes to, whether you want to smell the posies or eat the groceries. A lot of folks like to just sit around and enjoy the blessing of God, but there's more to it than that. There's a harvest to be reaped, and that's God's purpose and intention in our being in the church. And that's why we're here, and that's what this is all about. And that's the higher dimension of faith that we're going to have to get in. And that's right. Sam is right.
Francis can watch the flowers till the plow comes. And when the plow comes, it's going to cover the flowers up. It's going to cover them up, turn them over. And the flower's going to have to go right on down in the soil. God has a way of when He gets through with us, we've just not anything left of us at all. And the man and the woman that refuses to be bent with the plow of God's gospel won't ever reap a harvest. You've reaped your last one until you're willing for God's gospel to dig right on down and find out where you live. Now, some people don't want a revival because it exposes their iniquity. It uncovers their sin. It wouldn't do for them to pray very much because their self-righteous, hypocritical nature would be so exposed. Well, you don't need to worry, friend. Some of it's already sticking out so far you hadn't got enough clothes to cover it up. You can't hide it anyhow. I'm not the only one that can see. Any spiritual eye can observe. Now, some folks better get to the spiritual doctor fast because whatever is growing on them is bigger than them. Revival. Renewing always does something to you before it does anything to the sinner. That's what revival is. Revival is to work on folks that have one time had the great experience of God in their heart and still have, but they revive it to that new first love. It's time to break out the plows. It's time to sow. Amen. There are some folks I'm sure would be satisfied to sit around and wait until the store runs out. They're willing to wait until the seed all runs out. And when it's all gone, then they say, "Say, we need to plow because we're out of food. We're out of souls. We're out of harvest here. And so I guess we'd better plow." You forgot something. By the time you plow and the time you sow and the time it takes to grow and the time it takes to reap it, you're going to be starved to death. You're going to have lost it all. You're going to have lost out. I don't care how big the harvest is. You may manage to plow and sow, but if you don't manage to live through it, someone else is going to reap that harvest. The Bible talks about entering into other men's labors. There are some sad things sometimes. I've seen harvests that were planted too late, and they left that terrible, nagging gap in a church, and there was that space of time when there was no reaping. It's that sad and solitary time when people don't know whether to shout or cry. Don't know whether to mourn or rejoice. The church needs victory, but can't find it because they've got heartache. Amen. I don't want to get there. I want to sow now while the blessing of God is still flowing, while people are still finding God. I want to break up my heart, break up my soil, break up the ground that's resting. Come on now. Everybody in this building tonight needs an old-fashioned breaking up of the Holy Ghost. Some of you hadn't cried tears for years. Some of you hadn't shouted in God only knows how long. I'll tell you what, some of you haven't been moved by the Holy Ghost any more than just to clap your hands and to sing out of the songbook for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You need to break up your fallow ground. You need God to get a hold of you and shake you like a dog shakes an old rag. You need the Holy Ghost to move in your spirit.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive long. Be fruitful. The keeper of the vineyard's going to come through and say, "Who is this? Timber hit the ground. Cut it down." The preacher says, "No, Lord, leave it alone this year. Let me dig around and fertilize it a little and see if it'll grow. And then after that, if it won't grow, then cut it down." He said, "I've been here 3 years. 3 years. That scares me. 3 years. I'm going to command a blessing on you, and you're going to have fruit for 3 years. If you can't get in the move of God while God's moving, if you can't understand the blessing of God when God blesses, I'm afraid, friend, that when it comes time for the new harvest, you're not going to be here. God has a way of rooting people out of a congregation, and friend, it don't hurt my feelings. There are folks that are not here this year that were here last year. It doesn't make me weep. I had to preach around them, preach over them, preach through them, and there are some folks I'm preaching around, preaching over, and preaching through now. If the sword of my message isn't sharp enough to cut you now, it's going to cut you later. You're either going to hear the word of God and humble to the word of God, or the word of God is going to cut you out of the body. The church can't assimilate everything in its blood. Everything that comes into a church and everything that's in a church is not a part and a fiber and the soul and the heart of its intention. Amen. I found a lot of times that when you look at the fleshly aspects, you can look at people financially, you can look at people decently, you can look at people socially, you can look at people in any fellowship manner, and they look good. But when you look at them spiritually, they're just nothing. They're just nothing.
They don't contribute spiritually to the work of God.
And then God gives us these blessed years of plowing and blessed years of breaking up. That's God's intention. You're not good enough to manage to get through. You're not smart enough to get through. You haven't lived for God long enough to get through. There's nobody in this church tonight. Your soil isn't soft enough for God to give a harvest to it. It doesn't matter who you are. It's God's plan for you to be broken up again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I watched some of those old hens that my daddy said were molting. I watched them and new feathers started growing. The first thing you know, the combs on the head got red again. They started laying eggs again. Huh, how about that? I'd have put them in the deep freeze if I was doing it. They looked to me like they were gone forever. God must look at us sometimes. He knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. What worries me is that people repent according to their knowledge and pray according to their feeling. And that won't ever please God, not ever. You can't walk with God like that because you don't know your heart. The Bible said the way of man is not in himself. The Bible says that God knows the heart and tries the rein, but a man doesn't know what's in his heart. That's right. You say, well, if I know my heart, well, if anybody knows it, you know it. But I'm afraid nobody really knows it but God. And that's why we need to pray not, oh, Lord, help this and, oh, Lord, help that. But after you've repented of everything you can think to repent of, after you've broken down everything in your heart you can think to break down, you need to crawl back under that same altar bench and say, now, Lord, I want you to turn on your big light in my heart. Turn it on up bright. I want you to spotlight every little corner. I want you to look in every crevice of my mind and spirit. I don't want anything in my heart. I don't want anything in my spirit that's not right. I want you to revive me. I want you to plow my soil over. I want every root out. I want every fishing worm out. I want everything that's under there uncovered. You know the judgment's going to be one big plowing day. Did you know that? It's going to be one great big plowing contest when it comes to judgment time. Because the Bible said everything that's covered is going to be uncovered. It's going to be uncovered. Everything that's hidden is going to be brought to light. Everything. And if you don't bring it to light in the Holy Ghost now and become fruitful and work into the plan of God and fall into the purpose of God, do you know what plowing does? It turns the soil over. But then after it's turned over, it breaks it down together so that that soil can be worked together. One furrow doesn't jump up and fold its arms and say, hey, I'm this furrow, you leave me alone. Another furrow doesn't jump up over there and say, hey, I'm this furrow, you leave me alone. That old ground, when that plow goes through it, it just mixes it all up. It just tears it all up. There's no identity left anymore. You can't say, I'm that row and I'm that row. There aren't any rows left anymore. It digs up the old fodder stalks and the old corn stalks. It turns over all of the old wheat lines where the old stubble's been cut off. There isn't any more identity in the soil anymore. Everybody blends into one field. Everybody becomes a part of one body. That's the only way God can ever use the church, is for the plow to run through us. You need to lose your personal identity in the work of God and become a part of the whole intention. You need to be a part of the need. You need to be a part of the answer. You need to be a part of the problem. If there's a problem, you need to care about it. If it hurts the hand, then it hurts the foot. If it hurts the eye, then it hurts the ear. Whatever it is, you need to be a part of it. There is no such thing as people in a church becoming a part of the judgment of that church. God never intended that anybody in a church would sit on the outside of some situation and observe it and say, look what's happening in the church. You just might as well take your scrawny hand out of the air and say, look what's happened to us. Like a baby that comes running into its mama. And it says, mother, look what happened to me. Let's all say me. Me. Where, darling, where? It could be head, it could be foot, it could be elbow, it could be back, it could be anything. And the little child says, here, mommy, right here. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. This is me. This is not me, and that's you.
And it's a self-righteous and an iniquity for you to separate yourself from a body in any situation.
You hadn't been plowed. You haven't been plowed. Huh. I said you haven't been plowed. You hadn't been broken up lately. You hadn't prayed lately for anything but just your family and your kids and a few this and a few that, and Lord keep me and Lord help me and all of that. What about the body? What about the church of God in the earth? How long has it been since you prayed the prayer that Jesus said to pray? They said, teach us to pray. You know the first thing he said? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship. You know the very next thing that he said to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the next prayer. The first prayer is worship God. The next prayer is the kingdom. Not you, not your children, but God's work is the next vital thing to pray for. That wasn't just a prayer to be repeated. That was an outline for men to go by. That's what he did. He outlined. How long has it been since you prayed for the kingdom? How long has it been since you became a part of the situation? How long has it been since you were part of this young people's group? Is that Brother Hamby's problem until they get renewed? Well, if it is, Brother Hamby will renew with them. Will he or will he not? Will he get down and pray? Will he stay here on Sunday afternoon? Will he be here on Saturday night? I'll be here. Friend, I'll break up my heart just as big as you can break up yours. Run the plow through me. Come on. I'm going to lay down and let the plow cut me in half. Come on. Plow me up. Come on. Cut me down. I'm going to lay in there with you. If you die, I die. If you don't renew, I don't make it. But friend, let the gospel plow cut through my soul and through my spirit. I cannot survive until I become a part of the body.
And when one member suffers, they all suffer. I said, they all suffer. Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me. Folks love to reign but hate to suffer. Folks love to grow flowers but hate to be plowed. Love the smell of the clover but don't like the smell of the fresh soil. Where's my congregation tonight? Let me see where my congregation is. I want to see the folks that are enjoying the Word of God tonight. Amen. Thank God. Act like it. I'm going to preach a while. Thank God. I'm talking about the gospel plowing my soul. I'm preaching the Word of God to you tonight that there can come those terrible lapses in the congregation where the seventh year God gives us grain, gives us harvest in the sixth year. We just go right on through the years rejoicing, having a great time, wonderful worship, and the first thing you know, we've come to the eighth year. We've come to the ninth year. God's still giving us of that old store. There's still enough left over from renewing years ago. There's still enough left over from glory years ago. There's still enough left over from bounty years ago. Amen. We're still living on blessings that God gave us years ago. But now, wait a minute. That's not going to last for 3 years. That's not going on forever. Somewhere in here, we better break up some soil, get some seed in the ground. Because, friend, we're going to need some next year. And next year, if Jesus says, amen. Hallelujah. Is that right, Brother Finister? We need to break it up all the way down. I don't know what it's going to take in your heart, but I know what it takes for me. It takes a complete going over. I got to start just like an engine and take the bolts out of it, take the screws out of it, take the nuts off of it, take the pans off of it, take the carburetor off of it, tear it down until it's just nothing but a bunch of junk laying out in the middle of the floor. That's the only time God can ever come and put the new parts in that are worn and fix up the part that's not right and take the part that's dirty and clean it and take this part. You don't know what your heart looks like. You ought to see it like God looks at it sometime.
I want God to look at me. I say I want God to look at me. I'm not satisfied to go streaking right on through into the judgment without examining myself. And that's not the only thing. If there never was going to be a judgment, I'd want to do right, live right. If there wasn't a heaven, if there wasn't a hell, and all there was just to live this life and it'd be over, I want to live for God. But there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a judgment. If we had nothing to do and there was no responsibility to the church, I'd still want to do something for my fellow man. But there's nothing in the world you can do for mankind like giving the gospel to him that's going to give him everlasting life. You can give shoes to the orphans, and you can give clothes to the poverty stricken. You can give food to the hungry.
when you get through, they're going to be hungry next week. And they're going to be without clothes next year. But you can give the gospel to a man, he'll live forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's greatest gift. You can tell the gospel story to a person that never heard it before. I was in a conference, and standing on a voting floor in a conference a couple of years ago, and a man reached out and tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and said, "Praise the Lord, brother Henry."
Praise the Lord.
I didn't recognize him. He said, "You know who I am?" I said, "No, sir, I don't guess so." He said his name. I still didn't know who he was. He said, "You know, I'm the man that the alcoholic that you prayed for one night, and he named years and years before. And in a little old youth camp, he and his wife sat way back in the back, sinners, drunk, sat back in the back of the youth camp, saw all the cars and heard all the noise, and came and sat down in the back. But all the children came up to pray and seek the Lord. This man got his wife, and they came up and stood right up at the front. And when I got over to pray for him, he said, I'm a sinner." He just said, "I'm a sinner. My wife's a sinner." I said, we run around on each other. He said, "We live in sin, live for the devil." He said, "We've been drinking." He said, "We really need God." They both received the baptism of the Holy Ghost standing right there. You can judge him one way or the other, but here in just a few years, he is a minister of the gospel. Taps me on a minister conference floor and said, "Praise the Lord, Brother Handy." I didn't even know who he was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what thrills my heart. I know if I'm going to be able to bear any seed, I've got to get this old heart torn up. Because I lose sensitivity. Do you understand what I mean? I lose sensitivity. I don't sense the need anymore. When the soil gets hard, you know, the sheep can walk on it. When it's fresh plowed and it leaves a little hole every place, they put a hoof mark. Is that right now or not? But you can take the pasture out here where the sheep go through week after week and month after month, and it's hard. You can't find a track on the ground. They walk over it, and it's just where they've walked for years and years and years. Cows can get out in the plowed field. If they get out in the plowed field, you can see where they went. They went down that way and around that way and over that way and up that way and around that way and over that way and out that side. And there's the cows out there somewhere. But you can send them out in the pasture field somewhere and say, "Hey, where are the cows?" I don't know. You're going to have to go find cows. You can't see tracks. That's what God has to do with us. When our hearts get hardened, we don't break up our fallow ground. God comes looking for us in the night season to pray a prayer of faith, and he can't find us because there aren't any places where we leave tracks in the soft portions of our heart that's been broken by prayer and consistency and fasting and seeking after God, and there's no tenderness there, and God has to search the fields through, and by the time he finds us, the need is already past. How many sinners are already in hell tonight? Because saints of God are not sensitive, because they let the soil grow, they let the weeds grow, they let the grass cover it over, they've let so many things walk over their heart and over their soul, and so many stories and so many tales and so many rumors and so much of this and so much of that, until their hearts are packed down hard and tight and nobody can find anything in a field like that. You've just got to see them if you find them. But oh, that tender spirit of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that soil is soft after you've plowed the ground, you step off into that soil and you go up to your ankles. You walk over here and you're up to your ankles. Up to your ankles in soil, soft soil. God comes and takes his hand and drags his hand down through our hearts and plants in us knowledge, wisdom, faith, courage. I've heard people pray, "Lord, give me boldness. Lord, give me boldness. Oh, God, I need boldness to witness. Give me boldness to witness." No, what you really need to pray is, "God, plow me up. God, plow me up. God, plow me up. God, plow me up. Plow me up, God, plow me up." Because when you get plowed up and get soft, God can walk through your field. He can drag his fingers through your heart. He can plant boldness, faith, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, meekness. Hallelujah. It's no problem for God to plant the things you've got to have to be what he wants you to be. He knows what to put in you. What he wants is for you to give him your heart. We're busy telling God what to do with us, when we ought to be busy doing what God said to do with ourselves. Break up your fallow ground. Shall we stand?